Hi again, everyone. This is Coach Tim from Archery Geek TV and Archery Encounters LLC. Today's episode, I'd like to welcome you to episode 2, Just Look Around You. Yes, it sounds just like it, like we're gonna do. We're gonna point out how many times a day you see archery imagery and never even realize it, whether it be looking at your computer cursor or just driving down the street going somewhere that you've never been, or even the more familiar stuff, driving down the street going somewhere you go to all the time. So we'll get back to you after the break here. Think of your questions. Let me know things that interest you. In today's tech tip, we're going to be talking about probably the most complex issue facing archery participants, new, old, and especially the very experienced. It's called target panic. In a bow hunter's case, it's usually referred to as buck fever. We're going to discuss the issue. We're going to have Brian Keitlinger on to join us and discuss the issue from his perspective as somebody who has been dealing with that particular struggle for the last couple of months and is just now starting to come through it. So don't hesitate to send us a message, and we'll get back to you right after the break. Have a good afternoon, and enjoy the episode. Did you know archery is everywhere? That over the last 70,000 years, the bow and arrow have been integral symbols in giving us direction, guidance, telling us that these are the things that we want. These products will put us on target. They will take care of us. Archery is so ingrained in the human psyche that we don't even realize that the symbols we see every day got their origins with the bow and arrow. Even in your mathematics classes, when they're doing geometry and trigonometry, they use the arrow as a way of symbolizing lines, rays, and direction. This is going in this direction, angles. When you're doing a flow chart, they use arrows to guide you through the processes outlined in the flow chart, much like the archery shooting process. So it is a flow chart. Your computer cursor uses an arrowhead to show you where you're at on your computer screen when you want to click on a certain item. Click on this link, click on this Pay Now tab, click here, click whatever. Your cursor is an arrowhead. Look around you when you're driving downtown or when you're on a road trip with your family. When you're at a new state park or national forest, how many times you see an arrow showing you where to go? Archery has been everywhere, every day of our lives for thousands of years. Now, that being said, what about modern culture? What about the electronic devices we use today? What about the television marketing ploys stuff like that. And since 2012, archery has played a big role in our daily television lives. Several TV shows feature archers and archery in at least some capacity. Arrow, most of the DC Universe television shows, they all are use archery very, very much. Even Riverdale has archery in it. We've been blessed to be able to interact with the archery coach for those shows on several occasions, and she is a wonderful coach. Hopefully we'll be having her on at a later episode, and we'll be able to take your viewer questions for your listener, well, not viewer, but listener questions for that. Most of our role-playing games, live action, as well as sitting at the table, Dungeons and Dragons, medieval fair type things, all have some degree of archery activity going on in them, whether practical, interactive, or whether in your imagination. Pop culture, many, believe it or not, many Hollywood stars have done a lot of things with archery in their pre-fame careers, as well as during their pre-fame careers. Just a couple of famous archers, William Shatner from Star Trek was a competitive archer for many years before he became Captain Kirk. Gina Davis picked up a bow. I don't remember what age she said she picked it up at. I think she was in her 40s for the first time. And 2 years later, she was trying out for the Olympic team and almost made it. Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy and Parks and Rec is an avid bow hunter. The obvious, Ted Nugent, probably the most high profile of the active archers out there. There are many country western stars that participate in bow hunting. Brendan Fraser from the Mummy movies had picked up archery at one point in his career and actually talked about it in interviews. So you never know when you're at the archery range. You could have a very famous person that you never thought was participating in the sport of archery. It's a wonderful thing. Archery is one of those sports that doesn't know economic, social, or even physical barriers. We have world competitors in the sport of archery using regular compound bows and arrows with no arms, and they're breaking records around the world. Matt Stutzman, one of our U.S. team Paralympians, has the world record for the longest accurate archery shot at 310 yards. And that man doesn't even have any arms. So there's no physical limitations to participation in archery. Culturally, from the most ancient cultures on Earth to even our most modern cultures, the sport of archery is integral and knows no national, ethnic, or cultural barriers. Everybody can participate in the sport of archery. Pop culture now uses the archery imagery There is a video from the late 70s with Blondie singing one of her songs on, I believe it was American Bandstand, with Dick Clark, and she's dancing around with a bow and arrow on the stage. Obviously, it was a prop bow and arrow, and it was not a professional representation of the sport, but you've got Debbie Harry using a bow and arrow in her stage act. You've got Disney stars doing archery in between segments on their TV channel. You've got Disney movies with the bow and arrow heavily involved, particularly Brave and obviously the Robin Hood from way back in the 50s. But Brave from 2012 has been instrumental in getting young girls and women interested in the sport of archery. Wonder Woman utilizes a bow and arrow at some point in her movies. Obviously, Katniss Everdeen from Hunger Games. The bow and arrow has been used in the last 7-8 years as a primary symbol of women's empowerment. And rightfully so, because if you look throughout history, many of the deities associated with the bow and arrow are female. Most notably, Artemis, goddess of the hunt, goddess of the bow, goddess of archery, protector of animals. Kind of an unusual juxtaposition there. She is the protector of animals, but she is also the guardian of the hunt and the goddess of the hunt. So she understands the give and take of conservation and game management. And that's what she symbolized. There are several deities throughout all the other cultures that utilize the bow and arrow. In Star Wars, the Clone Wars cartoon on Disney Channel, the bow and arrow is integral to the Night Sisters' backstory. In the new Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, a new character is being introduced. She is of African-American descent, or African-British descent, I'm not sure which, but she is of African descent, and she utilizes a bow and arrow. So, again, women's empowerment with the sport of archery. A sport that for the last 100 years or so has been pretty much dominated by men, yet women are the ones that benefit the most from it. That's a beautiful thing, and it just shows the cross-cultural capabilities of the sport. An Olympic archer from India battled through poverty. Her name is Deepak. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. But she battled from abject poverty to the pinnacle of Indian archery, competitive archery, to where she was winning tournaments left and right. And then she had a little bit of struggle she got, which will play into our next segment of Target Panic. She ran into the mental pressures of the sport in a nation that doesn't have a real good history of being fair to females. Yet she has overcome, she has persevered, she has pushed through, and she's bringing herself back to the top. You can see that actual story was done on Netflix, and you can see that it's called Ladies First, and it's available on Netflix, and I really recommend that you watch it. It's very emotional, it's very to the core. It takes you through her highs, her lows, her parents' support, her coach's encouragement and the media's pressure based on cultural mores that almost broke her, but she fought back through. So again, female hero, female empowerment. Welcome back, everyone. Now we're going to talk about target panic. It's probably one of the most debilitating things an archer can face. It can take people out of the game for very long periods of time, in some cases never to return. But what is target panic? Well, basically, at its core, it's a conflict of the conscious and subconscious minds. When you are learning the sport of archery, you're pretty much learning in three different phases. You'll learn every step of the way consciously at the very beginning of your archery career. Then, as you progress, most things will start to become subconscious, and you'll only be consciously learning and perfecting certain aspects of your shooting form. And then ultimately, once you get to the point of, I don't want to say mastery, because I don't believe that anybody ever actually masters archery. It is a constant and ever-evolving learning process. So once you get to the point of proficiency, all but the most focused portions of your shot process, aiming being probably the primary one, is that's the only thing that is executed consciously, while the rest of your shot process is being done subconsciously. Now, that's not to say you're not using conscious elements within your build-up to the shot process. You're consciously thinking, grab the bow, grab the string, draw the bow back, hit your anchor point, so on and so forth. And then once you start to incorporate your back tension, and the term I learned about 20 years ago, start the motor, that switches everything from a conscious thought process to subconscious, and your subconscious mind takes over the execution of the shot while your conscious mind focuses on hitting your point of impact on the target. Well, what target panic is when parts of your conscious process leak into your subconscious and cause you to keep switching back and forth. For example, the conscious mind is able to carry out parallel thoughts, and it's able to do it very rapidly. So you can grab the bow, raise the bow, draw the bow, anchor the bow. Those are all parallel thoughts, and they are all conscious thoughts, but they are not simultaneous. The subconscious mind is the only part of your brain that can execute simultaneous processes. So, when you are thinking, hit your anchor point, aim, and now you're thinking, let go of the string or pull the trigger, depending on what kind of release you're using, you're no longer aiming for that split second that your brain is telling you to pull the trigger or let go of the string. And then you switch back to aiming. So for that brief split second, you drift off your ultimate goal of the 10 ring. But you don't really notice that. And when target panic starts to settle in, that process becomes longer and more ingrained, and then eventually you get to the point where you can't release the string, or you can't even bring your arrow onto target, or there are many different things that happen and manifest themselves in target panic. Well, part of that whole process is having to correct target panic is literally having to reprogram your computer, which means your mind and your shot process. You could have every step of the shot process exactly right, and because of that little bit of conscious subconscious conflict that goes on in your brain, self-doubt, double guessing yourself, all that stuff builds up to the manifestation of target panic in a bad way. You have to look at your, basically what you're doing with your bow and arrow is exactly what you're doing with your phone. You are putting input into the computer in order to extract a result that gives you a near real-time feedback. Just like entering a password to enter a website, enter your bank account, pay your bill, whatever. Everything you're doing today electronically has been done for years mechanically with the bow and arrow. And it's very similar to the process of programming a computer. And when the app isn't working right, you got to go back in and kind of find out where the error is and reprogram it, right? Well, that's the same thing with target panic. We have to go into your process and work on getting things executed subconsciously that need to be executed subconsciously. We need to get things back to the right levels. Conscious mind doing the conscious mind things, subconscious mind doing subconscious things. And it's not an easy process. It can take several weeks. In the worst cases, it can take several months. And in most cases, it's something that you will continuously work at throughout your archery career. Well, what do we mean by reprogramming the computer, reprogramming your shot process? Why is target panic such an important thing to beat? Why can't we just push through it? As a coach, I hear this stuff a lot. I also hear a lot of people talking about, well, I did this or I did that. Blank bail, blind shooting, close, so on and so forth. The first, probably the most important bit of advice that you can take when dealing with target panic is find a qualified, certified coach that is experienced in dealing with target panic. It's critical. Number one, you can't beat it yourself. You can work out segments, but it will not be long before problems start to manifest themselves. You have to work on it as a whole. So find a qualified coach, somebody that can pick apart the elements that you are making errors in by observing you. You won't find those elements looking in a mirror, looking at a tape, or a recording of yourself shooting and examining it. Find a coach. That is the most important thing you can do to help yourself through target panic. Secondly, it is a whole process, including a mindset reset that you have to go through. You've gotten to the point of target panic by receiving a lot of negative feedback, either from imposed upon yourself or from outside influences. Your mindset will determine your success or failure in conquering target panic. You will never cure target panic, but you will beat it back time and time and time again. Once you know the processes that you need to go back and work on. If you're working on just one element of what you perceive as your target panic, or the root cause of your target panic, changing a release, punching the trigger, snapping the string instead of letting the string push your fingers out of the way, improper draw length, all of those things can contribute to your progressively suffering deeper and deeper into target panic. Fixing one element does not correct the problem. In fact, it can cause other problems because many other aspects of your shot process and your mental game can be screwed up and be ignored when you're trying to do it yourself. That's why you need to have a coach help you through it. I can't stress the coaching enough. If you love archery and you're having problems and you don't have a coach to help you isolate those problems, you're doing yourself a disservice. Now, with that being said, we're going to talk about some of the techniques that you can use to help you as your coach is instructing you. One of the most common techniques, and there's videos out there and books have it written in it, and it's basically all over the place, is blank barrel shooting. Well, what that means is you're not shooting at any particular point of impact. You're not shooting at a bullseye, you're not shooting at an 11 ring on a 3D target, you're not shooting, you're just shooting at a blank barrel and letting the arrows go where they may. One thing that doesn't get discussed very often is your mental mindset. Your mental mindset can be one of two ways. It can be negative reinforcement, or it can be positive reinforcement. Negative reinforcement tends to exacerbate problems. The positive reinforcement tends to help you get through everything much smoother, much more relaxed. You didn't miss the bullseye three times. You got three arrows on the target. They may not be 10s, they may not be 11s, but you got three arrows on the targets. That's an accomplishment. And you take it as an accomplishment. when you give yourself negative feedback, you tend to block yourself from moving forward. I missed, therefore I'm going to try again. I missed again. When you have that positive mental attitude, it may not seem like much, but it is huge. Hey, I hit my target. Hey, I hit the target, the blank target button, 5 times. Ooh, hey, I hit the blank target button 10 times. Oh, I shot 10 arrows. I hit the blank target button 9 out of 10 times. Those are all positive reinforcements versus I only hit the target button 9 times. And as you take things as an accomplishment, you begin to tell yourself that, let's see if I can do this now. Now you're shooting at 1/2 of the target. Hey, 9 out of 10 arrows went into the left side of the target, right where I wanted them to go. Great, that's an accomplishment. Forget about the one that missed and went out. Focus on the accomplishment. 9 out of 10 arrows, left-hand side of the target. Great day. Those mental affirmations will help you move from one step to the next, to the point where now you're on a target face and you're taking your results on the target face seriously, but they are not the end of the world. I won't win this competition by shooting 29 tens and no X's. May be right, may not be right, but you don't know until the other people shoot. Because you may shoot 29 tens out of 30 arrows, and everybody else shoots 28, or 25, or 26. So you're already putting that negative reinforcement into your mind, putting additional pressure on you to produce another X or produce a better score. I'm not saying be happy with the result that you get, but I am saying take the results that you get as an accomplishment and a bridge to move to the next level. You shot 30 10 rings this week. Next week, you have a goal set that you're going to shoot 30 10 rings with 1x or 2x's or 3x's. If you don't hit your goal, you have still hit 30 10 rings. Do you see how that positive mental reinforcement can enhance your archery experience and your healing process when you're dealing with target panic? Well, now to talk about some of the techniques. You heard me a few minutes ago mention blank bail. Scatter your arrows all over the target. Yes, that is a deliberate thing. Do not worry about grouping. Do not worry about putting all your arrows in one corner of the target or another. Worry about your process. Process produces results. And you build on that process with each subsequent session at the shooting line. When you're just starting out, stand close, 5 yards or less. Shoot no more than 30 arrows. Take a break, come back to it several hours or even a couple days later. Do it again. But don't worry about where your arrows go. Don't worry about results. Worry about process. If you have flaws in your process, the only way you're going to be able to identify and correct those to help move you through is with a coach or other skilled observer. They will be able to see that you're drawing the bow wrong, your stance is wrong, so on and so forth. Things that you can't see and definitely can't identify in a long-distance video shot. I can't stress a two-person process enough in this segment. You must have help. Certified coach, your best option. A very skilled, long-time observer. If circumstances warrant it, then that's your next best choice. That being said, now we start off on the blank bail. You're scattering no more than 30 arrows and graining your process, checking your release, your grip, your anchor. We're going to assume that your draw length is already correct. But that is not always the case. And again, back to the skilled observer or coach. As you start getting used to executing your shot and just getting arrows downrange, you will move on to segmenting the target into a half. Today you want to shoot the top half of the target. Tomorrow, a week from now, you want to shoot the bottom half. Another week, back up to the top, maybe the left side or the right side. Work in halves on the target. Get all your arrows into that half. Now, you haven't backed up to 10, 20, or 30 yards. You're still close. So everything is an accomplishment. You've accomplished getting all your arrows in one half of the target or another. Subsequent weeks, now you're able to control what halves of the target you're putting your arrows in. And then we divide the target butt into quadrants, and you work on getting everything into one of the four quadrants of your target. And you subsequently section off the target into smaller and smaller segments till you're shooting at a 10 ring size target and controlling your arrows going into that target. It is not an easy process. It is several weeks. The stuff I just described to you will take you 4 to 6 weeks just to get through the process. Now, once we work you up to a target, we worry about your process. We don't worry about your results. Get your process. Get your accomplishments. 3 arrows on a 80 centimeter target face is a great accomplishment, especially for somebody who was struggling with getting an arrow anywhere on downrange. It is an accomplishment. It is an affirmation of your effort. After several sessions, now maybe you're putting all your arrows in the black or closer to the 10. That's an accomplishment. Making yourself accept that you're making a scoreable shot is an accomplishment, and it's an affirmation of your effort. As your process begins to solidify and your aiming becomes more natural again, you slowly build your results to the closer circles, the 10 ring, the 9 ring, the 8 ring, even the 7 and the 6 ring. as you slowly start to compress that grouping, everything is an accomplishment. Ultimately, what you end up with is a positive affirmation that I can do this. I am making accomplishments. I am progressing. That is part and parcel to getting your mental game back in the game. A pitcher who can't throw a strike does not get up there the next day and try to throw a strike again. He goes back, he works on his process. He works on his delivery. It's the same thing with archery. You want to be able to accomplish even the smallest goals. Once you get to a point where you can start scoring yourself again, it doesn't matter whether you're scoring 3 points or 30 points. You're scoring. That's an accomplishment. Ultimately, you'll build to a point where maybe your accomplishments aren't always what you want, but you're much more accepting of the adage that stuff happens. No human being is perfect. No human being fires the perfect shot every time. Doesn't matter if there's 30 other human beings standing next to you firing the same type of shot and doing better than you. What matters is that you're doing better yourself and you're accomplishing something. If you win, bonus points. If you don't win, you've put in your best effort, you've learned, you've executed to the best of your ability, and now you're ready to move on to the next event. Over the subsequent weeks, we'll talk about the various portions of your shooting form that will always need work, and the ways to identify when something doesn't feel right. And hopefully we won't just tell you what to do and how to do it. We'll be telling you why you want to do it and what the reasoning behind certain aspects of your shooting form and proper execution of that aspect are. So I hope you continue to tune in. Next week, we'll be talking a little bit more about geek culture and the various films and adaptations that have had archery in it and allow us to examine the good and the bad that comes out of Hollywood. Usually pretty bad. But not always. So we'll see you next week. Have a great evening and stay in the tendrils.